Pro Concho with Anna DeBlantis right now, 720 WGN. All right.
Is this the time in the program when we start to do math?
Yes. Well, we're going to do this because we have to.
Is there going to be a test later?
There might be. And it might be on April 15th. You see what I did there? All right. Rana Ferrar is the global business columnist and associate editor for the Financial Times. She's also CNN's global economic analyst. And Rana, thank you so much for being with us. I know you're in high demand today.
Well, I know how to do math.
Right.
Oh, somebody can. Yeah, well, thank God.
We're in radio, so I think you pretty much know that we can't. Let's talk about the whatever the deal is that has been met here by the House and the Senate. They're meeting today technically for the first time, but this is something that they've been trying to hammer out with these two teams of senators and congressmen getting together and trying to make this thing happen. We know that the corporate tax rate is going to be at 21%. They've agreed on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that the top personal tax rate is coming down to 35%. Is that right?
37 is what
37.
We're hearing.
All right,
Things are still in flux, but yeah, those are the two headline figures. And this bill, you know, as I've been saying all along, is really all about corporate tax breaks. And the thinking has been a kind of the conventional Republican thinking, which is that if you cut taxes on big corporations, particularly some of the largest firms that have a lot of money stored overseas in tax havens, and you get them to bring that money back by making the corporate rate lower, that they will spend it and create jobs. Now, I wish that were true. Unfortunately, for the last 20 years, there's not been a lot of proof that tax cuts have created growth. So if you go back, and this is a bipartisan thing, either in a Republican or a Democratic administration, in 2001, 2003 under Bush, they didn't. Post-financial crisis under President Obama, they didn't. So that's what a lot of the wrangling has been about. There's also been worries, of course, that these tax cuts will increase the deficit and not lower taxes on middle-class Americans that really need that break, you know, in order to start spending. Spending is what typically drives the economy. So that's what a lot of the wrangling's been about.
Here's one thing we know. Hmm. We know for sure. You know, if you ever watch a TV commercial or you talk to your banker and they say, well, we're not going to make any forward-looking statements here. And that's what basically that's all they're doing is they're promising us forward-looking statements. Oh, we're going to give them this money back and they're going to spend trillions in the economy. It's going to be jobs. And it is really true that shareholders are probably going to benefit from this. Shareholders are taxpayers. So, you know, that may be in some way, you know, another way of siphoning off some of the money here. But really, if you're in Illinois, okay, so let's just talk about high tax states for a second.
Mm-hmm,
if they take away the state local deduction, which appears to still be gone, but now what about the property tax offset so that your first $10,000 in property tax payments, which affects, you know, the vast majority of Illinois taxpayers,
right?
Will we still be able to write that off?
That's what it's looking like right now, that you are going to be able to get $10,000 still to write off. Of course, you know, that's less if you add in those state and local property taxes. They're meeting somewhere in the middle, but it's less than a lot of folks in higher tax states. Coastal states, you know, many Democratic states would have liked to have seen. And again, this is one of the things that folks have felt is rather skewed in this bill, the fact that it is going to hit certain parts of the country and sometimes not very Trump-friendly parts of the country harder than others.
Yeah, well, I think voters, that's if he's trying to win friends and influence people, make friends and influence people, this is not the way to do it. I mean, even you know, Alabama, right. I mean, let's face it, didn't get a win down there.
It seems like one of the consequences here also that I'm hearing as part of the tax plan, or both of the plans that they're going to be trying to compromise on, is going to show that the Obamacare mandate will likely go away, that tax on individuals who don't buy insurance. Is that what you're hearing? And that, to me, I guess the second part of that question would be, doesn't that all but guarantee you further destabilize the markets and going to have to figure out health care very quickly?
Well, this has been a big issue, not just for pretty much every Democrat, but for some Republicans. You know, Susan Collins, who's a Republican in Maine, has really been holding out, saying she's very worried about the idea of bringing health care into this tax bill. You know, I think that it would be a terrible thing to pull the rug out from under Obamacare. You know, healthcare emergencies are the reason that about a third of people in this country cycle in and out of poverty. You know, people just don't have the money to pay for a healthcare emergency. So that's why it was great that we got sort of a floor under folks with Obamacare. It's not perfect. You know, I personally would have liked to have seen a single payer option myself. I think that makes a lot of sense. And it's what every other rich country does, and they pay less and have better outcomes for healthcare than we do. But we may need another segment for me to go into that.
Yeah, sure. So,
yeah,
but it does seem that that's part of it, that the Obamacare mandate will be going away with either plan or with any eventual compromise.
That's what it's looking like right now, although, you know, you never know what's going to come in last-minute horse trading.
Let's talk about that. What does last-minute horse trading look like here? They're talking about trying to get this done by next Wednesday or Thursday so they can get that signed before they go away. Because obviously, after when they reassemble in January, they'll be down one senator when they swear in the guy from – I've forgotten his name already. The guy from Alabama. All I know is he's not Roy Moore. And that's all the people in Alabama know, too, that he's
no
that
more.
He's he is a guy that that we, you know, will replace that seat. Now, it doesn't
No,
Doug Jones. But the point is that you can't really afford more than two defections, you know, and you never know what John McCain's going to do.
Well, exactly. I mean, I have to say I was really disappointed. I had hoped that McCain would hold out in the House, in the Senate negotiations. He didn't, and that was a big loss, because once he went, a lot of Republicans followed with him. But as you point out, the margin is narrowing. Democrats are calling for the president to wait on this bill until Jones is seated. Of course, he wants to push it through as soon as possible. I mean, the bottom line here is Republicans do not want to go home to the midterm elections in the spring and say, hey, we got nothing done. We had a majority, didn't get health care done, didn't get taxes through. So they've got a big impetus to try to push this through. There's also a hope that by cutting taxes on corporations, those corporations, as you pointed out, are going to put that money right back into the stock market themselves. They're going to buy back their own shares, which artificially jacks up the price of stocks. That seems great, but it's a sugar high, right? It doesn't create Main Street growth. It creates Wall Street growth. But the idea is, let's just keep the markets up until the midterm elections. And then, okay, maybe there's a big correction coming, but who cares? We will have kept the House and Senate by then. I think that that's the logic.
You also hear about the tax changes or the deductions for the middle class and people in general sunsetting, you know, this plan to have them slowly go away, but the corporate ones stay intact. And I know some Republicans behind this plan say, don't worry about that. That's sort of a budget gimmick to try to meet financial goals. And then we're going to reassess and get back to that and not let them sunset. It seems like there's a lot of hope and prayer here that we're hoping that things work out well for us.
There is a lot of hope and prayer. I mean, that's what, you know, I wrote a column actually calling this the Republicans' faith-based tax plan, because you really do have to take it on faith. There just isn't proof in the numbers in the last 20 years that this trickle-down tax cut and miraculously create growth and real jobs theory works. I'm very worried that the breaks last only for corporations. Really, that they have more wealth than they ever have had in history. They're not hurting, and they can move wherever they need to for growth. They can move jobs to different countries. They can move capital to different countries. People here on the ground cannot move. They don't have the flexibility. And I think that we're coming to the end of a recovery cycle. You know, we've been in a recovery now, if you can believe it, for almost a decade. And that's typically how long those cycles last. So I think we need to be getting ready for the next recession rather than thinking about how rosy things are going to be and cutting taxes on big corporations.
Unfortunately, Rana, I agree with you. I'm one of those, you know, I go back to Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Everything I know about the Bible, I learned from Broadway. and you know, this whole idea of the drought is coming and, you know, you have to save and you have to, you know, a good fiscal policy comes, believe it, that was in a musical. Good fiscal policy comes from this idea of you know, maintaining as much balance as you can in your economics. And what we have here is we've got a political environment now and a political ecosystem that is just simply based on quick hit politics. It lives at the speed of light. It lives in the digital age, and this president is a guy who, you know, through his own personality and through his own habits and the way that he won, everything is about a lightning strike. And so he needs a lightning strike regardless of how the potential ramifications are going to be affected, because forget about it. We can't, no one can tell the future. Yeah. So it doesn't really matter. He just wants the wind so he can put it up on the board. And I think in terms of if you're going to recreate, this isn't like healthcare where it was 26% of the economy. This is the 100% of the economy that they are playing with here, not just a quarter of it. Oh, or 1/6 of the economy, or whatever that, whatever 18%, whatever it was. They when they said, "Well, you're going to mess with that. You're messing with the whole thing. You got to get this right because this is really hard to do. You can't change tax policy every 2 or 4 years or 6 years. I mean, there's a reason it hasn't changed in 30 something years. So this is a big deal. I'd rather go slow and get it right and try to get some bipartisanship here and try to make some determination, because there are people in Illinois and Wisconsin, by the way, which is a high tax state, and the coastal states, as you're pointing out, that are going to their taxes are going up. And even though the president promised today when he had his press availability about this, and he brought families out talking about how great the president was, there's a shocker, in February, you're going to start to see this change. If they can get this done next week, that in February your paychecks are going to change on withholding for the, you know, theoretically,
right,
for the better.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, you know, the silver lining to people who are not for this tax plan is that, yes, we are going to see the changes fast. We're going to feel them fast in our wallets. We may feel them before those midterm elections come.
Yep. Rana, thank you so much.
Thanks,
really,
Rana.
Appreciate your time here.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Rana Ferrara, he said,
is that how you say it?
From CNN and Financial Times. Here's Violetta.